Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmari Shabajantyamai Shreya Chintaya Survrata Rita Sriyo Rita Stanan Sapata Sapatnai Pahina Prabho Tasmat. Therefore, Isha, O powerful controller, Bhajantya, of your servitor, may. Me, Sreya, auspiciousness, Chintaya, just consider, Suvrata, O most gentle one, Rita Sriya, bereft of all opulences, Rita Stanan, bereft of a residence, Sap. Patnai, by the competitors, Pahi, please protect, Naha, us, Prabhu, O my Lord. Translation. Therefore, most gentle Lord, kindly favor your maidservant. We have now been deprived of our opulence and residence by our competitors, the demons. Kindly give us protection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Aditi, the mother of the demigods, appealed to Kasyapa Muni to give the demigods protection. When we speak of the demigods, this also includes their mother. We can repeat the translation. Therefore, most gentle Lord, kindly favor your maidservant. We have now been deprived of our opulence and residence by our competitors, the demons. Kindly give us protection. Pancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Well, first I'd like to take permission from my god brothers, everyone here, to speak amongst you. I was here, I guess, last year, about a year ago, here in Vrindavan. So they was actually Janardhan Maharaj arranged for me to give class, and I usually try to hide out for a while before speaking, because you want to absorb the energy of the Dham, you know, before you just come in and speak. I've been in Mayapur for 2 weeks, so that was okay. But still, even when I come to Vrindavan, I just want to sit for a while, chant and see the deities. But nonetheless, this is better because I won't be in anxiety for the next week. So, and he said, it's a very short purport. And I said, well, if I can find one word that I can meditate on Srila Prabhupada about, then I'll be okay. So there are many words in this very short purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is what we're all doing, appealing to the Lord for protection. So this is the word, protection. When I think of Srila Prabhupada, actually, you don't need to think of any other word. Everything he has done has been to protect us. Everything we're still doing, we're under the protection of Srila Prabhupada. When we came here with our eagerness, talking to our temple president here, saying, you know, what should we do? What can we do? How to help? He said, just come to the programs. Just show up to the programs. This is Vrindavan. This is our business here. Prabhupada made this place is so special, Vrindavan and Mayapur. Everywhere is special. All our temples are special. Prabhupada has said, everywhere is Vrindavan. Huh? New Vrindavan, first farm community. I live in New Navadvip. No different than Navadvip, Mayapur. If you have the eyes, it's no different. For me, it's a lot different being in Mayapur and being in New Navadvip, huh? With the Panchatattva. Because it's my vision. Actually, it isn't any different. The Panchatattva there, they're protecting. Panchatattva and Mayapur are protecting us. Your lordship's here. We're under their protection. You know, I can speak personally. Everything about a devotee is to protect one another, take care of one another. I see in our society now devotee care projects. This means we're not doing it. It's not a good thing that we're setting up. It's good. It's very, very good. But it shows that it hasn't been done. Today we're, yesterday we put ashes in the Jamuna, Chaitanya Dasi. Today we'll be having some memories about her. In the last 2 weeks, two of my godbrothers, Svatantra, a pujari, protected by the Lord. He was in the temple in the 70s when I was in Hawaii, 75 to 80. I was managing the restaurant, managing the temple. He was book distributor and pujari. Imagine, he was doing both. He was one of the biggest book distributors in India, at Juhu, and he was Sitaram's pujari. After he left Hawaii, he went there for a few years. And then he basically disappeared for 25 years from some of our views. He went to Brazil, got married, had a child, weren't really devotees or anything. But 2 years ago, he came back to the Hawaii temple. And by himself, the marriage was over, his son's 24 years old, and he literally came right into the garden right in front of the temple, and he saw me, and he said, I want to be the pujari. This is after 25 years. He said, I want to be the pujari here in Hawaii. And we're always looking for pujaris, and this is a very bold... Anyone wants to be a pujari in Hawaii and you don't need a visa, please talk to me later. So he was their pujari, and he just, full time, he became the head pujari, which means basically he had almost no help at all. And after, what he said to me was, all right, I'll be your pujari, but I want my own room. And he said, I want to have it for the rest of my life. I said, sure, this is... Prabhupada said, this is the business of pujari. You become pujari, you never leave their deities. How can you leave their lordships once you become their pujari? This is devotee mentality. And of course, we have the examples who he told right there in Mayapur, huh? The twins. They've been there because Prabhupada said, you stay here, be pujari. This is the perfection of life. So after all these years, Fatantar came back, just wanted to be the pujari, and he said, I just want to know I can have that room. You're never going to make me leave. I said, sure, it's not a problem. 6 months later, he said, my son, can I bring him? He can stay in my room. He came. Now he was making garlands. He wants to be a pujari like his father. Anyway, a few weeks ago, he was on the altar. He felt dizzy. He left the altar, went in, splashed water on his face, and... he passed out. He had an aneurysm. He was around for about 10 days as they were doing different things. And he left. I spoke to him. He wasn't visibly conscious, but every time I spoke to him, I could see the heart rate would just like go up so much. It was obvious he was hearing. So I talked to him for a long time. I said, your son's doing wonderful. He's all set up in the temple. Just said, everything is okay. But it was amazing to see that he just came back. He didn't even know why himself, but he was under the protection of his spiritual master and under the protection of the Panchatattva. Narottam Prabhu and Juhu, I wrote a little something about them. Narottam picked it up in Juhu. He made a big announcement in Juhu. He said he was the pujari for Sitaram. What was it, 3 or 4 years? Same thing, such a dedicated pujari. So because he was taking care of them, you know, this is what I learned from Prabhupada. So I say, I'm not here because I've chanted so nicely for decades or done very much. You know, a couple of years I did some service. But just because of that, Prabhupada took so much care of me during that time that I have nowhere else to go, because he has always protected me from the very beginning. Every time we would sleep late, he would ring his bell, say, wake up. Here it was, right here, the first time I was with him 3 weeks. You know, I tell this all the time, this story, Radha Damodar Temple, ringing the bell, November, beginning of November, chilly, cold for us. Where is everyone? Resting, Prabhupada. This was like 6 in the morning. Call them.
They're still doing that here.
Call them, he would call them then. We all went in. These were his senior devotees, traveling with him. So they were under his care. Devotee care. They were under his care. So he called them in. He said, why are you sleeping? He said, you should get up early in the morning. He said, getting up early, taking a cold bath before Mangal Arati, he said, it isn't an austerity. He said, it's common sense. He said, it's good for your health. Prabhupada was Ayurvedic specialist. He knew everything about Ayurveda. But he knew Krishna, he knew everything. And that's, he talked about Krishna. He didn't discuss Ayurveda very often. But he followed it because it's good for your health, so you can do service. Keeps the mind clear, the body clear. And he said that. Take cold bath. He said, you do that every morning. Take cold bath, go to Mangal Arati, chant your 16 rounds. He said, after 12 years, everything you say will be perfect. He said that. But he called us in, he called me in a dozen times over 2 years for the same thing. Why are you sleeping? It wasn't just sleeping, it's sleeping with Maya. Why are you in Maya? See, he was always bringing us back. Always. Little things. He didn't wait for something big to happen. He would chastise you right away. On the airplane, he always saw us sleeping. We had a big 747s. Was flying from New York to Detroit or something. There was like 12 seats, right? You had 3 and then 5 in the center section, 5 seats. Imagine being in the middle of that. And then there were another 3 seats. So there was 11 seats. And it was a short flight. Prabhupada was going from New York to Detroit. So all the devotees, they found out where Prabhupada was sitting. So they wanted to see. So they all sat so they could see Prabhupada. They didn't know. If you're going to be around your spiritual master, you got to be very careful. So Prabhupada's sitting by the window. I'm next to him, as always. No one's next to me because my godbrothers, they would like to sit behind, so they weren't always feeling like Prabhupada's watching us. But the other devotees, of course, want Prabhupada to see them, and he did. But as what he saw was... That's what he saw. And he's looking at his disciples and he's saying, and of course he's talking to me, he's asking me, why are they all sleeping like dead men? He said, on the whole plane, no one is sleeping but my disciples, like dead men. He went right to the top, Prabhupada would say. He would say things. Everyone, he said, everyone is working hard. He said, just for their sex life, not my disciples sleeping very nicely. At least he didn't say we were working hard for sex life. That was going on. But sleeping, even we're sleeping, he said. I could have said, Prabhupada, they're hardly sleeping, especially Prabhupada was there. They probably weren't sleeping at all because you're painting, cleaning, doing so many things. But there was never an excuse, because service doesn't make you tired. Prabhupada would always say that. It would always make you shake your head. Say the more service you do, the more enthusiastic you become. No question of sleeping. But he always protected, he always took care to see that we weren't drifting. Because that's what happened, you start to drift. I was at the Dwarka temple the other day, and I think it was there, and I used the analogy of the hurricane, because we've been having some massive hurricanes, cyclones. So you know, in the hurricane, there's the eye. And the eye is completely clear. The sunshine's coming through, no winds. And birds fly in there, if they can get in there before, they actually, flocks of birds, you'll find them. You can see videos of everything now. You'll see flocks of birds in there because they know that's the place to be. It's protected. And what happens as soon as you wander out? It's not 10 mile an hour wind, 20, 30, 40. No, it's the opposite. As soon as you hit the edge, it's 170 miles an hour. You know, it's 100 kilometers away. So boom, you're gone. See, that's Maya. Yeah. You start out, it's nice. I'm just sleeping a little bit. Then, of course, you're sleeping. Then the rounds, well, you know, I'm working very hard. I got 10 of them done today and then the next. It's slow, but then there's a point. It's like you just reach that point and then boom. You know, and they say, what happened to, well, I don't know. He went here, he went there. But the protection is there. And that protection, Prabhupada would say, it comes from a very simple thing. And it's what Prabhupada did all the time. He followed he called it many things. He called it the routine program, the program. Wherever he went, he had it. He had a program. What's the program? Who can say? Anyone know what the program Prabhupada followed was?
Rise early.
It's so simple. Go to Mangalarti, chant your 16 rounds, go to the morning class, go to the evening class, and keep yourself busy in between. That's what he did all the time, every day. I was first with him. We went from, it's all I ever did was go around the world. That's what he kept doing. Kept going. I went around the world 4 times in 2 years. He went around the world 14 times. But everywhere he went, he did the same thing. It wasn't some invention. And he would say, if there wasn't a temple, he would look at the 3 and 4 of us staying there, and he would say, what's the program? And no one ever knew what he meant, because we figured he was talking about something elaborate, like setting up a, you know, big preaching engagements and all this stuff. But he was talking about protecting us. What are you doing? That's what he meant. What are you doing now that we're here and there's no temple, there's no deities? What's your program? And then he'd say, chant. He would just have us chant in the room. And then he'd say, grab a book. You know, and we were always the same. Which book? Any book. You know, they'd grab the book. Where? Anywhere. He was always showing us, just do something for Krishna all the time. That's your protection. And he set it up so that it was very simple. And he did it himself. I said, this was, coming to India, coming to Vrindavan was one of the most difficult trips, because basically you flew 20-some hours. You arrived in beautiful New Delhi Airport at like 1 in the morning, you know, October. There's fires everywhere. It's pretty much smells the same. The smell of Delhi is very special. And you would come in, and then we would go. There were no temples in Delhi when Prabhupada was here. Right? It was this life member's house, this place they were renting, that place, and just little places. By the time you got there, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You've been flying for 2 days, 20 hours, stop here, doing this. And then 5 o'clock in the morning, he's ringing the bell because it's time to get ready for the morning walk. He didn't, you know, think, well, today's an off day. You know, you got to settle in, jet lag, take care of yourself. And devotees say that when I come, and believe me, I'm very happy to accommodate that and just do nothing because you're exhausted. But Prabhupada followed the program all the time. He didn't give us that little special, little spa. It's okay, you can rest. You know, we had a long flight. No. Morning walk, six, the sun's rising. He's out there for his morning walk. Everywhere we went, it was like that. Because that's a protection. That's what keeps you inside that, the eye. That's the eye. And I felt like that when I was with Prabhupada. I felt like I was protected, even against my own my own desires, obviously. And he was, because he would correct things. He would say little things. He said it without preaching, because Prabhupada knew I was not very receptive to being given orders. Imagine, he very rarely said, just do something. He would ring the bell. He would ring his bell. I'd go in the room. He'd say, can you give me massage now? Imagine. And I'd look at him and say, Prabhupada, they're flying me all around the world just to do that. Like, I'm sitting in a room, because I was sitting in a room, a little room waiting for you to massage you. But see, this is a devotee. This is why I'm here, because he said that. Because he didn't say, get your butt over here. What have you been doing? I've been looking for you all day. No, he didn't speak like that. He made you feel so obligated by his loving you. That's how we all feel. Those of us that are around from those days. At least that's how I feel. I can't speak for everyone else. But I think I can. Mahendra knows. Prabhu knows. Apritu. We know we're here because Prabhupada loved us. And he took such good care of us. And he continues to do so. You know, I come here. I love Vrindavan very much. As much as I can. Because I like the atmosphere here. Because I see everyone engaged in service. Because I see the temple president. He says, just come and chant. Just be here in the temple. And I see him doing what we should all do as well. This is your 24-hour kirtan. I'm not trying to, you know. But this is our program. You know what he said to me yesterday? He said, whatever you see me doing that you don't think is right, tell me.
He had a long list.
I've been in all night. I didn't sleep last night. I'm like, but no, imagine a leader, an ISKCON leader, telling you that. There's not many that will say that to you. Not many are willing to hear, because he sees, despite everything, he thinks, you know, I did spend some time with Prabhupada, and maybe he can help in this or that way, you know, in some guidance. This is what we do for each other. And I will, and I've already told them a few things. we have plenty of time. So, but this is the thing. So I'll just try to give you a few examples. How the level of care, talk about devotee care. All of you involved in devotee care, understand how much care Prabhupada took. The ultimate was right here in Vrindavan. When he was sick in bed. This is, I tell this too, this is 1974. We began 24-hour kirtan in the temples, Prabhupada said, at that time. He was lying in bed for weeks, not eating. And amidst all that, he had to speak to the governor. The governor came. You know, we know everything had stopped. Couldn't get cement. It was all about getting the cement. You've all heard this. But Prabhupada came because the governor was coming, and he went from lying in bed, unable to do anything. I was carrying him under here. I would bring him to the bathroom, bring him back, lay him back down in bed. I picked him up, had to bring him in so he could speak. But the whole point of what I'm telling you is that evening, we would go in Prabhupada's garden here. As soon as you walk into the garden, there was no garden, it was just dirt then. The building wasn't even finished. And there were bricks, and Prabhupada had his bed out there because it was September. So it was very, very hot. So his bed was out there, the mosquito net was over it. The mosquito net went down to the ground. So I slept under the mosquito net, under Prabhupada's bed at night. He would be right over me because whatever he needed, I had to help him. So one night, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up to noise. Now I'm on the ground, on bricks, and I literally roll over, and Prabhupada's lying next to me on the ground. So, of course, I got out, and I picked him up and sat him down. I said, Prabhupada, what happened? He said, I had to use the bathroom. He said, but I didn't want to disturb you because you're sleeping. This is devotee care. My only business is lying under his bed, like literally like a dog, happily, if I could be that. Just a dog lying under his bed, waiting to take care of his bidding, whatever it is. And I said, Prabhupada, I'm lying here to help you. I said, don't do that. I actually chastised. It was the one time I raised my voice. I got very excited, and I said, please, Prabhupada, I'm right here. He said, I thought I had strength. He said, but I have no strength. So then I went back and forth. See, that this is a devotee. You know, I first came to Vrindavan with Prabhupada. I had been with him literally for a few weeks. And as soon as I got there, and I had a time to sit down, I started writing a letter to Kaladri. Kaladri and I, we were like, you know, we were Kirtananda's right and left, kind of. So we were very good friends then. And I wrote him this long letter, but all I did was talk about Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada did this. Brahmachari came, asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do I control my mind when I'm chanting? And Prabhupada said, there's no question of mind. He said, you chant with your tongue and you hear with your ears. So he just like bypassed it. So I always say that was the shortest japa retreat ever. It was like that. There's no mind. Don't mind your mind. That's what he said. You just chant and you hear. And when it doesn't happen, you just chant and hear and chant. So I'm writing these things because they're just classic. Everything was like classic Prabhupada, you know. You just never knew. Prabhupada, I heard Gandhi, when he died, he chanted Ram. Prabhupada said, I don't know, I wasn't there. So he just dismissed that Gandhi. He didn't want to hear the Gandhi stuff. Prabhupada, they described Sumeru Mountain, so many miles in the sky. Where is it? Prabhupada says, up there. He was practical. It was funny. These were all like, well, I'm, you know, these are my first days with Prabhupada. Everything he says, it just makes me smile and laugh. I'm thinking this, he's just funny. Prabhupada's funny, you know. Yeah. Prabhupada describing all the animals, monkeys. They got my glasses yesterday again. Every year I come. You know, that's what you call foolish. You know, you do the same thing and you expect a different result. You know, I'm sitting there, now it's because of the phone. If I didn't have my phone, I wouldn't have my glasses on. But of course, I got my phone, my addiction, and on the phone, boom, gone. We got them back, bite marks, chewed. The husband passed it to the wife, had to treat them both, you know, juices, crackers. It was the same with Prabhupada. I literally... The story was there. I'm sitting there yelling at this monkey that had my glasses. In 1972, Prabhupada and I were yelling at the monkey that had his slipper. And it hasn't changed. And they still do the same thing. But they did it to Prabhupada. And he showed me how to deal with it. So everything. He shows you everything. He even shows you how to deal with the monkeys. But he was describing those rascals. He said, rascals, rascals. He said, they, you know, one in Vrindavan, that bridge bossy, you make some offense, devotee. He says, you come back as a monkey. You know, you sex slave, you come back as a monkey, hog, you overeating, all these things. And Gurudas says, well, what about people, they smoke ganja, Prabhupada? He said, oh, he says, they come back as hippies in San Francisco. Which is where he had come from, and that's all I'm going to say. So this is, you know, Prabhupada always knew everything. Everything. And he took care, such nice care of us. He gave me socks to wear, his socks. Who could do that? Who would take them? I took them and I wore them. It was in Atlanta, 1975, March 3rd. It was very cold. It was like in the 30s, you know, just Celsius. It was like 4 degrees Celsius. It was very cold. We had come from India, Hawaii, L.A., Mexico City, Caracas, Miami. As Prabhupada said, Miami. And now we're in Atlanta. And it's freezing. And we're traveling with Prabhupada. He has everything. But we don't have anything. No chuddas, no shoes, no socks. So the very first morning walk, Prabhupada doesn't say anything. He doesn't make any. But when he gets back, as soon as I get back in, he rings his bell. He said, do you have socks? And I know what's coming. After 2 years, I also knew Prabhupada. He knew me completely, but a little tiny part. So I knew what's going on. Do you have socks? No, Prabhupada. Well, go into the Elmira. Every Prabhupada room has an Elmira, or it's Maya. Metal Elmira with the lock. Because we don't trust anyone but Krishna. Prabhupada knew, you know. That's how you trust, by locking things up. So I go in the Elmira, I get socks, and I bring them, and Prabhupada said, take some socks. And he says, and for the others, that was Nitai and Paramahamsa, they were the others, secretary, Sanskrit editor. Yes, Prabhupada. Do you have shoes? Well, first I refused the socks. And he said, if I say it's okay, you can take them. And I said, Prabhupada, spiritual master. I mean, what else could I say? If I say it's okay, you can take them. So then, that's all I needed to hear. I grab them. It's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy. So then he goes, do you have shoes? And I said, Prabhupada, no. I said, that's not. You just cannot wear your shoes. He said, if I say you can wear them, you can wear them. And then he went to another step. He said, you can use the spiritual master's items while he's present. He said, but when he leaves, then you worship them. No, he told me that personally. So, yes, Prabhupada. So I grabbed those shoes. I grabbed them. And then he said, okay. So then I already knew, because again, we know. You know, and like Prabhupada, he liked to tease. He liked to tease not just the children. He liked to tease his disciples a lot. That was part of the love. He had an expression. Maybe you know, Preetu. I've actually seen it once written down. I could never find it again. Especially when Prabhupada would talk about science, the scientist and science, and he would get all his disciples worked up, and they would be talking all this intellectual. And then Prabhupada would say a sentence. It was English. There were all English syllables put together, but it was not anything. We say double talk in English. It made no sense. There was nothing. But he knew it, and he could repeat that. And I was with him. He did it 3 times while I was with him, somehow or other, not on recordings. But in the midst of the conversations, he would just say this sentence. So, of course, you try to understand, because he's Prabhupada, and you're going to admit you don't understand. So everyone's in agreement. So he's laughing afterwards because he didn't say anything. So after the first time, I knew. See, I became a little wiser. So then subsequently, he would even look at me because he knew I had become part of his joke of just bewildering all these fools and rascals. They're just agreeing with nonsense, which is what we do as scientists. How they talk all their nonsense. See, everything Prabhupada did had, you could look at it very simply, or you could see exactly what he was doing. And he was just showing the nonsense of all, because that's what happens. But you think, oh, big, big authority. Yes, Prabhupada. Everyone's going, yes, Prabhupada. And he's looking at his nonsense. So he would do these things, Prabhupada. But again, he just drew you in with that love. But he didn't love you to draw you in. That was just a benefit that we received. No, he actually cared. There wasn't an agenda, because he had everything. He had no benefit. He didn't derive some personal benefit. He already had Krishna. He actually wanted to give us Krishna. And he did it by caring so much and by loving. That same time in Vrindavan, he called me in the room. He called me in the room because I was sick. Bhardwaj was sick. We were all sick. We were all getting malaria. It was like malaria central right there in Prabhupada's quarters, right in the servants' quarters, which now is just has all the paraphernalia. Right behind his sitting room, that was the original servants' room, which meant I stayed there. One day he was walking through there, because he would have to walk through there to use his bathroom. And I'm lying on the floor with malaria. That was the third time I was used to it. And it had been a couple days. And right next to me are my three of my godbrothers, and they were all eating lunch. And Prabhupada walks through the room and he looks at me and he looks at them eating and he said, is anyone taking care of Shruti Kirti? And I was like and he said, call a doctor. He said, bring him a Nimbupani. I don't know what Nimbupani, it cured everything. That Nimbupani that Prabhupada gave me, I drank it, I felt so much better, you know. It was like a magic Nimbupani, you know, just because he cared. But otherwise, I could have perished there. Thankfully, I was massaging. I was literally massaging him. So while I wasn't massaging him, Kuladri was massaging him. So Kuladri was doing it. He was here at that time. So we were like taking turns as we were dying in Vrindavan for Prabhupada. That's why we're here. I see he takes total care of me. No matter what, he's taking care of me. Huh? He's taking care of all of us. Not just me, he's taking care of all of us. But I know it, because I don't have any other reason why it could be in this situation, why it can come to Vrindavan and go to Mayapur, see the Panchatattva Abhishek. He's given all of us so much. And it's enough. Huh? So I say, come to Vrindavan. Prabhupada wasn't a tourist. He really liked, once he came here, this place, this is what he gave us, to recharge. Come here. That was his idea. We have the residents here, and then you have your guests that come. He said this last time. And all you people that live here, very nicely, by the arrangement of Srimati Radharani, you have to nurture us to come. We come from difficult places, Maya's everywhere. That circle, that little circle of protection, Kali Yuga's advancing. But there's all these people working so hard because Prabhupada's been taking care. He sent me back to LA. He told me, go back. He said, after that few weeks, he said to me, you saved my life. He said, so you please go to Los Angeles, recover. After he said it, I, under the tree, banyan tamal tree that was there, Prabhupada would sit there, listen to the classes. He would come to classes and listen to his disciples give class. And he would chant quietly. Everyone went about their business. Prabhupada would sit. So I said to him that, I said, Prabhupada, I'm not going to leave. I said, I don't want to leave, Prabhupada. I don't want to leave your service. Then he said, very good. He didn't want me to leave, but he was going to let me. If I thought I needed to leave, if that's what I needed, then okay. He said, we'll join you when we get to Hawaii. That's all he said. He didn't make me feel like he was rejecting. He said, no, we'll be there soon. He said, and then we'll rejoin you there. You become healthy. That's all. He told Bhardwaj to go back to the West to become healthy. So these things made us feel, because we just wanted to serve him. And he wanted to serve us. He was always doing that. He was always giving me good advice. Told, you know, little snippets. He didn't sit me down for 10, 15, 20 minutes. He would literally say something 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes. Told you, he would say, walk in the room. He'd just look at me and say, ultimately, you have to fly your own airplane. Whew. That's a pretty heavy thing to say. You walk into Prabhupada's just because he rang the bell and that's the first thing he says to you. Imagine. But he's given us all the tools, very simple tools. He said, just come here, chant, dance, take prasadam. You do a little service anywhere and be happy. So that was the routine. He called it the routine, the program. Just do that. And you will see results from it. Like he said, you do it perfectly. You have 12 years, you're going to see big results. Not by chanting, just by chanting. We can open it up a little bit. We have time. And he, yes. Temple president.
Sometimes they criticize that the Gita is not the same or due to Krishna personally there, so they have he had much more advantage. So you have the privilege of honor of traveling with Prabhupada, serving Prabhupada, hearing Prabhupada, telling us how much he cared for everybody. How do we appreciate Prabhupada's care now? You know, we see Prabhupada as the Vyasasana and read his book and hear about him, but it seems a little distant.
Yeah, he can be. I mean, he was, when I left the shelter of ISKCON at temples, I guess, 1983. And for the next pretty much 12 years, I moved to somewhere in New Jersey, got involved in a business. I had three children, had a wife, was an hour from a temple. And for 12 years, I didn't, you know, do much except raise my family, provide house, all those things, house food and all. I felt okay. I actually felt very happy knowing I was earning a legitimate livelihood to raise a family. I thought that was also one of Prabhupada's desires. You have a family, you take care of them. It's no one else's responsibility other than the person who started the family. So I felt good in that way, but I was really dried up. And it actually, I became... Internet was out then, AOL online. And there was this petition that had been started in around 1995 about calling back all the disconnected devotees. You remember that? A few Maharajas here spearheaded that thing. And I actually came to Vrindavan in 1996 to that festival because of that surge, that idea. So it actually requires people to say things and do things. I mean, it's personal. That's the most important thing, is understand everything is personal. We still the same thing. Everything is personal. Huh? Prabhupada in New Dwarka, walking along the hallway, you know, to go to his garden. You'd come down the stairs, and then you'd walk through the hall, go out the back door to the garden. So... there are devotees doing things. It was Pujar, some of the area downstairs above Prabhupada's flat, his apartment. Some areas was Pujari room. Some areas we were staying in. It was some space. So devotees were there. So the one day he walks down and there's, you know, the bead bag. And it's just hanging on that doorknob like that. So Prabhupada looks at me. He said, "Whose bead bag is crying there?" Crying. Only people cry. Persons cry. Yeah? Bead bags don't. No, he said, another day there was a plate of prasadam sitting there. Same thing. Whose prasadam is crying? Okay? Until we start seeing everything as Krishna's, huh? Everything with person. Prabhupada would pick up the flower. This is Krishna. The fragrance is Krishna. Huh? So everything we do, you're connected. You're connected to Prabhupada if you want to be. You just have to do it. Yeah. Here, I mean, I feel connected to Prabhupada right now. Does anyone else? Do we feel like we're in Prabhupada's favor? See, Mataji, at least one person. So this is it. It's by the association. This is the protection. If you don't take the association, where are you going to get protected? What's protecting? We insulate ourselves with the others. That group of birds flying in there together. And when you see someone wandering out, see, that's what Prabhupada, he would see us falling asleep, falling into Maya's lap, and he would, well, that's how devotees do things. So when we see someone, it's not like you tell your neighbor, he's on his way, you know, this one's already, no, it's you try to nudge him back in with some love. Sometimes it's a little tough love. You know, we would go in, Prabhupada calling us dead men, sleeping like dead men. That was his favorite, was dead men. Why? One day his secretary said, Prabhupada, jet lag. That didn't go over well. We had that term then. It didn't come up later. Jet lag has been around for whenever jets came around. But no. He said, you're a sannyasi. He said, you're supposed to minimize your eating and sleeping. He says, jet lag. Prabhupada said, look at me. He's a sannyasi. See, Prabhupada, he lived as a sannyasi. He was a guru, acharya, so many, but he was also a sannyasi, and he followed that. He said, you eat less, you sleep less. Not just you want to be wear saffron to get mahaprasadam. No! He said to me in Calcutta Temple, Albert Road, rings the, that's what I mean, he was so wonderful. I was so fortunate, sometimes there was just nobody else to talk to, so he would even tell me. I'd go in the room, he'd say, you know the rubber stamp. Yes, Prabhupada. Rubber stamp, he said, on all the sannyasis' foreheads. Keep cool. What's it say on the butter? Keep in a cool place. He would say, just like the butter. It says, keep in a cool place. He said, all the sannyasis should have that across their forehead. You can do in Tilak Maharaj. But no, because he saw what was going on. He was trying to help. And even he would say and say, you can see now, so many guidelines are there. If we want, it's so easy to say, why? That's not what Prabhupada wanted from, that's not what Prabhupada wanted, but we see it going on. But he also said, our business is set the example. My godbrother, Nanda Kumar, I talked to him on the phone. He's on the big island of Hawaii. He is very, Prabhupada said, expert servant, Nanda Kumar. What was my point I was making? He said, because Nanda Kumar, he was a little sharp. He would come into Prabhupada sometimes, say, he got upset because Arundhati was cooking for Prabhupada and she's got her baby in her arm. I mean, come on, you know, we learn way better than that, right? But she's cooking for Prabhupada. So Nanda went in. He said something to her. Ooh, then Prabhupada, she went into Prabhupada and said, and Prabhupada looked, he said, you have no business talking to another man's wife, giving her instruction. He thought he was Prabhupada's servant. He could say whatever he wanted to anyone. He said, you have no business. He says, and besides that, he says, she can cook. Let her cook. Yeah. In New York, fallen sannyasi, one of my favorite, talk about taking care of devotees. He was a sannyasi. He had been Prabhupada's servant, massaging him. Now he was long-haired, hippie, not following any principles. He was in New York. But he used to go to the restaurant down on the ground floor and eat prasadam. Even he was eating meat. He still liked, he had a taste for prasadam, and I guess he was probably a good deal as well. So the devotee lady there was a Mekala. She was working there in the kitchen at the temple. And she knew him and she was friendly towards him. Nobody else was friendly to him in the whole temple because he was in big Maya. He was eating meat. He would criticize Prabhupada. He blamed him for ruining his rock career. He could have been a rock star, he said, but he gave up, you know, those years to Prabhupada. So he was upset. He said, I could have been somebody. So nobody even wanted to talk to him, but this devotee lady, Amekala, she did. And so then one day, he comes. And when he comes, there's like 20 devotees right in front of the temple, the doors. This is a 55th 55th, right? 55th Street. There are like 20 devotees. So he's like, what's going on? And she says, oh, Prabhupada's coming. You know, and she's in anxiety because she knows he's offensive. And he says, oh, well, I just came to eat. But as he's talking to her, of course, the car with Prabhupada pulls up, you know, as fate would have it. And the car pulls up. I've opened the door, Prabhupada comes out, and the sannyasis are there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and whoever, New York sannyasis are there, and Drishtajumna. And, you know, everyone, boom, goes down. And, of course, Prabhupada sees this long-haired guy with his beard and recognizes his disciple. And they're trying to direct him away and right into the temple because they're afraid of this person's going to upset the whole mood. Of course, Prabhupada, in his knowledge, he walked right to him. And he says, oh, he said, you're here. He said, so you'll cook for me while you're here. And he's got Tamal Krishna, Prabhupada, the guy's eating meat. He's become a demon. He's offensive. So you'll cook for me while I'm here? Yes, Prabhupada, I'll cook for you. Very good. So then, of course, he asked the Mekala to help him cook. So the only person that was nice to him is now cooking for Prabhupada as well, along with this demoniac devotee who was so fallen, he didn't deserve anyone's mercy. But Prabhupada just grabbed him. I can't tell you what happened afterwards, but that's not even the point. The point is what Prabhupada's willing to do for us. You know, like JFK, you know. What are we willing to do for him, for such a person who will go out of his way? Yeah, we all know, very few Christians who might be here, we all know the stories of the wayward sheep. You know, this is what Prabhupada did. I could sit here for the next hour and tell you a few more stories about that. How much he just wanted whoever had come, never go away. And if you go away, he's going to do whatever he has to bring you back. He flew from, you know, Oahu to the big island just to see a disciple. He didn't even get to see him. But he flew there to try to save him because he had done so much. This is what we have. This is what we've been given by Prabhupada. We're very, very fortunate. So don't waste the good fortune. And don't just appreciate Prabhupada. We have to become like that. Huh? That's why originally everybody were called Prabhus. It wasn't even about it being Sanskrit or anything. It was about, he called himself, as he told Govindadasi, you can address me as Prabhupada. You are all, that's what he said, you're all Prabhus. And I'm Prabhupada. So that's how it was understood. Of course, here in India, you couldn't even do such a thing. But that was the mood Prabhupada wanted to set, because he wanted us to see each other as Prabhu. Huh? I told that yesterday. I won't tell it right there at Radha Damodar. When Jamuna, Prabhupada had me sit and eat what Jamuna cooked. And then after, he said, did you like? I said, Prabhupada, if you haven't tasted Jamuna's prasadam, you know, hang around until you get a chance sometime in the future. Nothing like it. So I said, Prabhupada is wonderful. He said, good. He said, now tomorrow you cook for her. Okay? This is a devotee. We don't just happily, let everybody serve me, serve me, serve me. No. We see everybody. Service, all he wants to do, he wants to serve the devotees in the temple. This is what devotees want. They don't want anything in return because we're already happy. Anyhow, I guess I should stop here. No. Maharaj, he's got the... Go on.
Yes, this is a response also to the devotees about the devotees' separation. So I can remember one of the very, very, very first instructions Srila Prabhupada gave to us, and he said that the highest form of service is service in separation. Mm-hmm. And so, over the years, of course, he instructed us in so many things, and certain things that he said to each of us became intelligible in our minds, and they fortified our desires to render service. And so, in my case, in that respect, I felt that okay, if there was something that Sri Prabhupada needed done, and it required to leave the groups of devotees, I would do it and go and bring the service in that way. And today, we're all serving in separation, but this type of separation, Sri Prabhupada is not left us. He is
no. Well, that's why I mean, you know, my selfishness, when I do this, I very much feel Prabhupada's presence. It relieves that feeling of separation, you know, that's so much there all of the time. But simultaneously, that's what, you know, I saw with Prabhupada. You know, so many emotions are there at the same time. It's not you have one emotion which eliminates another. So I say Prabhupada would lie down. He would sit on the bed and say, I hate sleep. And then he'd lie down like a child and sleep with that. You could see there was, but he said, I hate it, it's a waste of time. He said, it's so much to do, he kept saying, I hate sleep. And then, but whenever you saw him lie down, it was completely different. Well, I was telling Panchagoda, I said, the routine, Prabhupada followed the routine. Yes, yes, these Prabhus. In the afternoon, Prabhupada didn't do business very much in the afternoon. It was all in the morning. He managed to get so much done before lunch. He would answer his letters. He would talk with the temple leaders. He would do what he needed to do. The dictation, he was getting massage. After his lunch, and then he had nap, he'd be reading his books. This is what he wanted us to do. He was doing it. See, this is, if you want to see Krishna, you want to feel Krishna, you want to feel Prabhupada, then you have to do the program. It's that easy. He reveals himself to you. Krishna reveals himself to you. I told you, the three times I walked into his room in 2 years, he was reading different books, and each time he said, read this book and you can become Krishna conscious. He said the same thing, exact same thing every time. He said, you don't have to read. He was telling me, because he knew I didn't read hundreds. He said, just read this one book and you can become Krishna conscious. And it was just talking to me. And then he'd start reading again. So this is what he wanted. He wanted us to do what he did. Not just work, 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 work. No, you have to keep strong. You have to associate with them. Huh? We're separated if we're not doing the program. If we're doing the program, it's a separation. But it's, how could it be the greatest ecstasy? How could you be feeling ecstasy? It's not that you're miserable in that separation. Again, I'm happy just to be here in his places. I don't have to go anywhere else once I come to Vrindavan. And he knows I don't go anywhere when I come to this temple. It's all I know, because it's all Prabhupada showed me. And if he shows me more at some time, that's okay too. But right now, this is all I know. I went to Govardhan Hill with him one day in the car. He offered obeisances, I offered obeisances. I didn't even know what Govardhan Hill was in 1972. It didn't, you know, I heard of it, but, you know, we were there, saw, I really didn't see a big hill or anything. But, you know, he brought me there. So I go there sometimes, see where he went. You know, but his thing was walking. And in the walk, we didn't stop in temples. He went on his morning walk, up and down his road, Bhaktivedanta Marg. That's what he did. Then he came here. And he said, bring the people here. And when he was in Mayapur, he said, bring them here. So it's all I have. You know, I could go all these places, but he hasn't sent me there yet. You know, I'm very content. Maharaj.
Thank you very much for your sharing us your valuable insights on how the problem was here for us. Definitely we can gather from what you said that Prabhupada's care and compassion has no limits, unlimited, So, as you said also, we should try to follow in his footsteps. So, of course, that is very difficult to do. And times and circumstances, we have to deal also to care. That is, devoting is caring with each other, personal. So we try to do that to other devotees, but they don't reciprocate. Mm. They still, you know, being like in Maya, try to get them out of Maya. So what is the best deal? What is the best thing to do to deal with this? Because we're not like unlimited, merciful, and compassionate, and like Srila Prabhupada. How can you really hammer it down to their, you know, senses, and they don't do anything?
You can't. You can always. You can try. I mean, even Prabhupada, you know, when he didn't bring these people back either. When the opportunity is there, you just try to give love. He didn't try to get them to do anything. Well, service. You have to know what they like and get them to do that. That's what he said. You'll cook for me? Because he was a cook. That's what he did. He was going to the restaurant. He, you know, food was a thing. So it's understanding. You know, with me it was easy. He brought me back too. I was a servant. He made me, come back and be. You do what you do. So that's it.
Did Prabhupada give like up to four chances or something?
Now he said, never stop. You never stop.
Fifth,
he said that with, one, you know, is taking money, using it, trying to make investments and make more money. Of course, he was blowing through money, Prabhupada's BBT money. And it was Tamal Krishna says, well, how, you know, I mean, you forgave him once, forgave him twice. How many times are you going to forgive him? He said, Vaishnava never stops forgiving. Otherwise, then we're just Christians, aren't we? You know?
If they take advantage, though.
Well, you don't, no one gets to take advantage. Well, that's the thing. You have to see the sincerity there. You know, I saw one devotee again, Sannyasi Prabhupada, it was Devananda, you know, who later on I heard he had a change of heart. But he came into Prabhupada's room, I think it was at Ahmedabad or Hyderabad, somebody's life member's house kind of thing, and Brahmananda was there. So this is 75. He was his secretary. And Devananda came in, and he was alone. I was sitting behind somewhere. Brahmananda had left the room. And he was in bright, bright orange, you know, his beard and hair. And he looked pretty far out. And he started doing these mudras and things in front of Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada tried talking, I didn't know what he was doing at the time. And then I just heard Prabhupada, Brahmananda! He said, you know, remove him. There is a limit. But then again, if he would come back, he would give him another chance. But it's not like you tolerate nonsense or anything. You know, there's limits. But then, again you try. Because we know that also Krishna is making arrangements for all of these people who are struggling. You know, you can learn easy. If you don't, we get slammed, you know. We also, that's Krishna's mercy, you know, and it's Prabhupada's mercy as well. So, but yes, but we try. And it has to come from the right place, too. The most thing, people are receptive if they see you care. You know, they really know you want to, that's a good start. We just keep trying. Is that a...
according to your question, we can take example from Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna on so many topics, and in his conclusion, he said, I've instructed you
in this science, yes,
and now you decide.
Do it. Well, that's always what I saw with Prabhupada. He always gave me choices. They're talking about the Bhagavad Gita. That was a classic one. That was in Miami. Prabhupada had arrived there in our travels. I was a grahasta now. I had a child I had never seen. And I really wanted to go back to Hawaii and be with my family. And I had already spoken to Nanda Kumar, who loved India. And I didn't love India. So it was the perfect arrangement. I said, Nanda, Prabhupada's coming to L.A. You join him, I'll go to Hawaii, you go to India with Prabhupada. So I did all this without saying anything to Prabhupada or the secretary Paramahamsa. Anyway, we get to Miami and we walk in the door. It was a cottage at the temple there at that time, the cottage where... And I got bags, Prabhupada's in front of me. So as soon as we get in, there's a big painting of Krishna and Arjuna's, I think, kind of like that, you know. And Prabhupada stops right there. He never stopped at any painting 2.5 years, but he stopped at that one in his little cottage. I like this painting very much, looking right at me. So I fell for it. Why? I should have left it alone. He said, just see. Arjuna, he doesn't know what to do. He's being told, advised. You got to kill all your relatives. You know, this is what we're doing here today. This is what's going to happen. And you're going to do it. And he doesn't want to do it. Prabhupada looks at me. Just see. He said, if Krishna wants, you have to kill your family members. What to speak of leaving them? He just told me, you have no business going back to your wife. I never said anything, but he's looking right at me and he's saying, what to speak of living is all I want to do. He said, no, not just leave them. If Krishna wants, you're going to kill them. I remember I said that in Ukraine in front of like 6,000 people. Naranjan, he said, could you please explain that a little bit? He said, I don't want any of my disciples here, you know, killing one of their family members to serve me, you know. But that was his point to me directly. And you know, I didn't even know it was for me. That's how expert he was in allowing me to just figure out what was going on. I didn't even know it. Because he would just talk to me with such nonchalance, we say. It was just so easy. But he was telling me, just be my servant. What's your problem? You know, you got a couple of years. Just control yourself for a little bit. And it was literally days later, we confronted it. The secretary came in and said to Prabhupada, while I was massaging him, being a little sneaky, afraid to deal with it myself, I put it on somebody else. And I didn't think he was going to ask him the question while I was in the room with Prabhupada. And I'm massaging Prabhupada, I'm behind him, and he said, Shruta Kirti wants to go back to his wife and Nanda Kumar will come and be your servant. And I'm behind Prabhupada, so I don't even see. And you don't hear anything, which that's never good. Nanda Kumar's expert. He said, but he didn't think so. And then Paramahamsa, and I'm looking right at Paramahamsa, and what's going to happen now? And then Paramahamsa says, well, what should we do, Prabhupada? Again, Prabhupada's just waiting for me to say, I got it, Prabhupada, you know, no problem. I was a coward. So then Paramahamsa says, should Shruta Kirti remain? Yeah, that's all right. And I did. And I came here for the opening. Imagine, I came here for the opening of the temple and all. I didn't even know. See, that's Maya. See? You can think you're right there, but all of a sudden you're not. You're like, you're 1 minute you're in that circle. You're protected. But if you don't follow the instructions, boom, you're going very fast. It's very quick. Don't test Maya. So we'll stop here. It's very late. I thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.